Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Kaya Biz.
Wealth creation. Joining us now is Janina Slorski, who joins us to give us some insight into the numbers. She's head of investment consulting at Alexander Forbes after the company published its 2024 Manager Watch Survey of Retirement Fund Investment Managers. Janina, welcome to the show and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm excited to speak to you because I can imagine as a head of investment consulting, boy oh boy, your days have been busy the last few weeks, last few days really, right? On the back of the news flow.
Let's just say we've had practice over the years. This is reminding us a lot of COVID when there was a shock to the market and no one actually knew what was going to happen next. So very familiar feeling. But as you know, after that crisis, there was a lot of buying opportunities. So as always, in terms of wealth creation, we say to our investors, stay the line. Do not panic. Wait for some recovery.
Oh, I love the perspective you've given us because it helps just, you know, make sense of all of the noise because we do tend to get lost in the panic and the headlines in the moment. And Janina, I guess this takes us to a wonderful observation as well, which highlights the recent report, the 2024 Manager Watch Survey of Retirement Fund Investment Managers. Maybe let's just start with how long this report has been running for, how detailed it is in terms of understanding the various players, and what key metrics you look to measure in terms of the outcome.
Well, we're very proud to say it's been running for 30 years. So we've awarded ourselves a pearl gift because that's what you do after 30 years.
Wonderful.
And the book that we've published this year actually has a lot of reflection over the three decades, and we've got input from some of the industry leaders. It's actually been amazing, not just South Africa, but obviously internationally, to look at how investment management has changed in three decades. What challenges it's faced, the managers who came and left, because it's a very challenging industry, but also the massive trends. South Africa is very much focused on BEE managers. That's a massive investing, and actually being able to prove that asset managers are doing the right thing with the members' money.
100%. And I think that's important, as you say, because it is nuanced to the local dynamics. Before we get into some of the results, maybe let's just talk about the technical jargon. Some might not be familiar with asset managers or multi-managers and the different roles that they serve, and even assets under management as a theme and concept. Maybe just help us understand what all of those mean and how they've influenced the outcome of the report.
So obviously, most assets in South Africa are actually managed by what we call single managers. Mm-hmm. So some big household names like Stanlib, 91, Coronation, Allan Gray, etc. And that's if you have your fund invested with them, then you've got an asset consulting deciding how to allocate. The alternative is actually you appoint what is called a multi-manager, and they do the packaging for you. Mm-hmm. So they make the decision which single managers to invest with, and you effectively pay them an overlay for that service. We have seen a rise of multi-management in the South African retirement fund industry, and that is very much based on the broader trends. In terms of assets under management, a big part of the survey each year is stacking up the largest managers and seeing who has the most assets that they are managing. So it's a key part of the survey, and I can share with you that 91 retained its position at the top, yes, with Stanlib coming in at second.
100%. It's quite interesting in looking at the list, as we do see that 91, Stanlib, Sanlam Investment Management, if I'm not mistaken, then Coronation and Allan Gray, Alexander Forbes Investments also featuring in the top seven list, if I'm not mistaken. And I guess I'm keen to understand, you know, what is it about some of these companies that have managed to maintain these particular metrics? And maybe let's talk to the top three or top two in particular, 91 and Stanlib.
So essentially, I guess very traditionally in South Africa, you've had large managers who've managed the majority of assets. We have seen a trend away from that, which we can go into just now. But these are sort of big household names, and they also sometimes have internal asset flows. So 91, as you know, is actually a big international manager. So mm-hmm. they stand out. They don't have sort of any insurance company or bank behind them, but they obviously have their own distribution force. Stanlib, obviously, within the Liberty Standard Bank stable. So they do have a lot of internal assets, one of the reasons that they're large. And then maybe if I can just go to the third, the other way of growing is to actually take over another asset manager.
Right? Yes.
Funnily, it's grown because a asset manager dropped out, being ABSA Asset Management. Yes. So that is one of the reasons Sanlam has actually jumped a couple of steps and is now third behind 91 and Stanlam.
Got you. And I think that's important for us to note because we are still seeing quite a bit of activity that will be finalized, if I'm not mistaken, between 91 and even Sanlam or SIM going forward. So that will also influence the results next year. What I do want to shift to is a company that ranks at number 19 from number 20 last year. Oh, sorry, number 19 in 2023 and now ranked at number 20, which is Aluwani Capital. Mm-hmm. And I guess I highlight this because in comparison to some of the peers on the list, it's not only a much smaller asset management firm, but also one that I guess is rooted on transformation and is a black-owned management firm. Maybe give us some context there around the new entrants, but also how, again, this highlights the focus on transformation and BEE right across the spectrum.
So definitely BEE. I mean, interestingly, some of your largest managers have become BEE managers. So if you do look at the Sanlams, the old Mutual Investment Group, Future Growth, they all changed their shareholding in order to become very large, but also majority black-owned. Obviously, Aluwani was originally spun out of Momentum. They started as a majority black-owned manager. I wouldn't read too much into them going down just below the next manager, which happens to be Ashburton. Mm-hmm. Effectively, there are obviously differences between the managers in terms of the mandates they have and also what assets they manage. So, for example, if you've got an equity manager, then they will tend to grow when equities grow, and they have in the last year. If you've got an Aluwani who does actually manage a lot of money market and more bond type mandates, they might go down not because they've lost mandates, but actually just because their asset class hasn't performed as well as another manager.
I see what you mean. Maybe let's go there and talk asset classes, right? We know that this is largely influenced by the likes of Regulation 28, but also the investment strategies and philosophies that are undertaken by these asset managers. And all of them have varying views on this one. I always think about the issue of the value investor versus high growth and the debates that they have amongst each other. But let's talk about asset classes and what influences we see shifting there.
So I guess what sticks out from the survey, and we've been talking about it for a couple of years, is the allocation to offshore. Obviously, in 2022, there was a massive increase in how much these managers could take offshore, all the way up to 45%. And initially, it didn't seem to make much difference. Actually, managers thought there was good value in South African assets. But now we're in a stage where we've been through a lot of volatility, and a lot of managers have gone well over 30% and a lot over 40%. And in fact, a lot of them manage up to 45% quite consistently. Sure. Now, this is a massive change because going from sort of the 25% level, maybe up to 28 with a bit of Africa, mm-hmm. to up to 45%. First of all, the managers who get that right, particularly on the rand versus dollar, and then choose the best companies. Interesting concepts that your equity market is all about picking stocks and saying which stock is going to do the best. And obviously, we've been kind of stuck with what was on the JSE. And now a manager can go, well, actually, I love this sector. I think it's going to do well. I just don't like the companies on the JSE. I think the ones listed offshore are much better. So it's almost as if they've been able to turn stock picking internationally. And we're definitely starting to see that the managers who get the asset allocation right, equities, bonds, etc., but importantly, rand versus dollar, and then within equity in particular, gets the stock pick right, those managers are going to dramatically outperform. And you're starting to see the survey we've shared this year definitely shows a much bigger dispersion between the best performing, best investment view manager and the worst performing.
Yeah, definitely. There's a significant shift there. What always catches my eye as well when we speak to asset managers or we engage with them has been the rise of ESG. It's been gaining traction, but at times also some red flags that have been raised as we learn from our international counterparts about greenwashing and how that's also a risk factor that asset managers need to be mindful of. As we look for return, we also want to make sure that we are meeting the compliance levels of environment, social and governance responsibilities. What does your report share insights on there?
So we look at two dimensions. One is the number of signatories for CRISA, the Code for Responsible Investing in South Africa. So that's very much the local version. And then also an international version, which is the Principles for Responsible Investing, or PRI. And we've seen continued increases in the number of managers responding to both of these. The local one you essentially can adopt if you're a responsible company. If you want to go for the PRI, it's very expensive and there's a lot of work involved. So we always expect the largest managers to do both, but every even smallest manager should be looking to adopt a CRISA. It's not too easy to build some of the more detailed ESG metrics into a survey like ours, because there's different ways that different managers look at it. Mm-hmm. But we are getting a lot more data, and it's something we'd hope to include in future surveys to get a better comparison between asset managers in terms of their ES and G.
I think that's a valid point you mentioned, right? Because if there isn't, I guess, some standard metric or measure, then even for us as investors and those who sit as is it principles on retirement or pension funds? Yes, that they have a hard time actually just figuring out who's performing better than who there. So is that a global theme that also needs to be addressed, just in terms of making sure that we're all using the same metrics?
It's very challenging. We always love these comparisons between different ESG data providers, and they'll look at a single share and they all have a different rating for it on E, S, and G, and at the top level. So you got one company which one provider thinks is great, and same company another one says isn't so great, and that's very confusing for trustees.
Yeah.
So effectively what we do in the asset consulting space is sort of try and give a single view across managers and effectively grill the managers on ESG, because you can hear the stories which give you a sense of whether they are actually adopting it or just ticking a box, but it is still quite difficult to turn it into hard data.
100%. I think what is so intriguing for us as well, Janina, this report has really given us a lot of insight and, you know, made it more practical for us to understand the competitive nature of our asset managers in South Africa. But I'm keen to understand, ultimately, all asset managers want the same goal, right? Seeking alpha, creating great value and return for their customers and their clients, but also being competitive in terms of their pricing to attract volumes in terms of the number of customers and assets under management that you have. From a pricing point of view, especially given that we live in the world of technology, AI, digital traders, and so much more that's coming in, what are we seeing from a cost dynamic?
Well, I guess you have to split it into active managers, passive managers.
Sure.
So certainly within the active space, the best managers will be able to command higher fees, but there is pressure on them. And new managers, startups will struggle. Obviously, we always try to get alignments, particularly when it comes to performance fees, to make sure that the investor and the asset manager are aligned. But we are having a lot of investors who are saying, I don't have the appetite for these high fees, especially when net of those fees, I'm getting negative alpha. Not a nice concept. Positive alpha is what we're looking for.
Yes.
So the large allocations going to passive, inappropriate spaces, which actually does tend to reduce the overall fee, but still try and get your active alpha in areas where you think that managers can add significant alpha.
100%. Sure. Such interesting dynamics. We listen, we learn every day, and we certainly are unpacking how this impacts us as South African investors. But going forward, I guess just in terms of the competitiveness of the asset management space in South Africa, should we sit confidently as South Africans knowing that we're doing our best?
Yes, hugely. I mean, what's stark in our survey is just how many asset managers are submitting. There was a huge amount of 92 in this year's, and 797, so nearly 800 strategies. That says those managers are out there hungry, wanting to impress clients and wanting to get mandates. And that means we've got a thriving asset management industry, which is very good for investors.
100%. Thank you so much for your time, Janina. Really appreciate it. And hopefully this storm will settle and we'll be able to touch base to reflect on this particular Trump tariff trade war and the calamity it's caused for the markets. But really appreciate the calm you've given us in the beginning of the conversation.
No problem. Great. Have a lovely evening.
Likewise. That's Janina Slowski, Head of Investment Consulting at Alexander Forbes, giving us some context into the most recent 2024 Manager Watch survey of retirement fund investment managers. One thing's for certain, it's competitive, it's growing, it is transforming, and most importantly, making sure that the sector does continue to manage our money.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.